Good morning, Crossroads. There it is. So good to be with you. Thank you for being here. I know that cold has been moving through us. How many have been impacted by it? Families? Yes. Well done. Way to go. Way to be here. Good job, church. All right, we are going to jump right back into that series on spiritual gifts, and I have been excited about this week, thinking about it, just anticipating. Why am I excited? A couple of years ago when I got here, I began to map out some ideas, some strategies, some things that I felt like God was laying on my heart for our church and in collaboration with the team. And one of the things, one of the papers, I've mentioned this before, was a discipleship paper, and it had a whole bunch of different layers on it. One of the things on there was Freedom Session. We started that last week. Awesome. Another thing on there was developing some cross-cultural missions and moving in that way. You heard from Guy last week, and Chanel's been, Malachi's going. That's happening. Awesome. Another thing on there was spiritual gifts. Us as a church, understanding and functioning in our spiritual gifts. And so the start of our series, it was in the fall, and we spent about 5 weeks where we began to unpack it. I'll talk about that in a moment. Now, just as a pull us back onto the same page, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we are going to go into spiritual gifts, specifically the love gifts today. Chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, in the fall, we spent some time building a foundation, and we have a number of those messages recorded. I encourage you, if you weren't there or if you're curious, to go back and listen to them. We wrestled with this idea that there are gifts that we have. Some of them are natural gifts. Sometimes we have a gift like a musical ability could be a natural gift. Sometimes we have gifts that we acquire a skill. So we want to become a mechanic, and we go to school and we are trained up and we apprentice, we become a mechanic. That's an acquired gift. Spiritual gifts are different. Spiritual gifts are gifts that come when we confess Jesus as Lord, when we become followers of Christ and he comes into our life. Not only does he cleanse us and release us from all of our sin and everything that held us down, he gives us unique giftings. And in this series, in these next weeks here, we're going to move through somewhere in the area of 20 different types of gifts. And the reality is, if you are a Christian, if you have confessed Jesus as Lord, you have spiritual gifts. You have a spiritual gift. Often we have more than one spiritual gift. It's been given you. Now, I believe that we have gifts that are sitting within us that are dormant. So we've received this gift, but we've kind of put a box on it and we've tucked it away. I believe there are gifts that we don't even know we have. I believe that there are gifts that we've become burdened with, and so we've stopped using them. And the reality is we have gifts and we are functioning in them, which is great. So our goal is for each and every one of us to understand what our gift is, first of all, and then to move from there and begin practicing and exercising and using our spiritual gifts. So after that first week, which is the foundational, what is a spiritual gift, we talked for a few weeks on the Holy Spirit, the giver of the gifts. Then we went on to the importance of having deep and good character with the gifts. Now, Sam, if you can throw up the next slide, which has the four questions. Now, we spent a couple of weeks, and we arrived at a spot where we asked these questions. If you're here, the question was asked, and you're invited to stand if it applied to you. You weren't obligated, but you're invited to stand, and we prayed for you. So do you think you are better? Do you think that you are lesser? Do you wrestle with an others-based identity? Have you put God in a box? All related to spiritual gifts. And then we went on a bit of a pause because we came into Advent and some other things. Now, if you remember that, God began to do a work because almost everybody in our church was standing, anticipating that God was going to move, anticipating that God was going to break any pride issues, anticipating that God was going to build us up, anticipating that God was going to break out of the box and give us a right identity in him. And so today we land on these love gifts. Now, just to be clear, we're separating our gifts into three different categories: love gifts, power gifts, and word gifts. Love gifts, power gifts, and word gifts. Now, one person put it this way: love gifts manifest the love of God in very practical ways. Power gifts demonstrate the power, presence, and reality of God. Word gifts clarify the nature, actions, and purposes of God. Okay, let me repeat that one more time. Love gifts manifest the love of God in very practical ways. Power gifts demonstrate the power, presence, and reality of God. And word gifts clarify the nature, actions, and purposes of God. Now, it's really important that we understand that each of these gifts are essential and important. Each one is crucial for us as a body, all of the gifts. And if we were to take one of those types of gifts or one of the gifts out, it's like having a three-legged stool and removing the leg from the stool and the person on it fall over. So it's really important as we are looking ahead that we don't begin to put different measurements, different values on the spiritual gifts. Some of us would love to have some dramatic gifting, like a healing gift or a prophetic gift, and we may have a gift of service. When we start to think of that gift of service as not being valuable, as not being as good as, we begin to see things with a tinted lens. And not only do we begin to detract our experience in the body, but we also begin to take away from the body. So it's really important that you're honest about that. And if God is pushing in on an area and saying, hey, this is perfect, this is where I've got you, spend some time processing that, receiving it. If you want more, go after it. But be thankful for what you have. What the spiritual gifts are all about, and what they are there, it's important that we understand is they're about unity. They're about pulling us together. And that's why we spent 2 weeks on character. When the wrong character takes spiritual gifts and starts to use it for selfish means, it starts to break the church apart. And spiritual gifts, because they are so diverse, are meant to build the church up, are meant to equip the church to engage in worship with God and to engage in mission with God. All the gifts are going to look different. And here at Crossroads, we are absolutely committed to practicing all the gifts for the building up, for the equipping of the saints, for the joining in God's mission. Now, the love gifts that we're specifically going to talk about today are administration, helps, mercy, and giving. And what's really beautiful and really, really precious about these love gifts is that these are, in a way, they're secondary because they're all about supporting and building up what God has in life and ministry in the church. So your administrators, your servers, or your gifts of helps, your mercy, your giving, it's all about supporting what's going on in the church or supporting people in the church. And they're beautiful. Too many throat lozenges this week, sorry. I'm going to be sipping a little water this week. Now let's get that first slide up there, Sam. The spiritual gift of administration. Kubernesis is the Greek word. I'm going to give you a chance to speak some Greek today. Ready? One, two, three. Kubernesis. All right. So that's your warm-up for the day. We've got four Greek words that we're going to jump into. I want you to say Kubernesis with me on three. One, two, three. Kubernesis. Is anybody here, Guy? I can't hear it either. Come on, church. Join with... Now, you're going, oh, Joel, come on now. But you love it. Come on. Speak it out loud. If you're not quite sure how to pronounce it, the best way when you come across those crazy words you don't get, speak them out loud. If anybody actually is there and they know the word, they'll correct you, and that's okay. Chances are they don't know the word. Kubernesis. Here we go. One, two, three. Kubernesis. Hey, there you go. Awesome. Now, this term, and I learned this week when I was studying, is actually a unique nautical term that refers to steering or the captain. That's this gift of administration. Now, it carries the idea of someone who guides and directs a group of people towards a goal or a destination. Now, what I want you to do as we're moving through these four gifts today is I want you to listen. Which is there one of these that I have? And you might go, oh, absolutely. Just a little future thing for you to know. At the end of today, if you have one of these gifts, we're going to ask for you to make your way down here because we want to pray for you with these gifts. We also want to develop a bit of a reference for who has what gifts so we can start placing people in the right areas. So pay attention to what gifts you're connected with, what you have, okay? With this gift, the Holy Spirit enables certain Christians to organize, direct, and implement plans to lead others in the various ministries of the church. This gift is closely related to the gift of leadership, but is more the goal or task-oriented and is also more concerned with the details and the organization. Now, oftentimes, we'll take somebody who's a good administrator and automatically stick them into a leadership role, and they might not actually be gifted in leadership. And then you've got somebody that's really good at crunching numbers and pulling details together, but the actual leading of the people doesn't quite happen. Now, there are times where administration and leadership does go together. I wish that were the case for me, but unfortunately it is not. I am not administrative at all. Anybody who's worked with me is smiling right now and giving a little chuckle because they know that. Now, the gift of administration is so essential for our church. And I want to just unpack this idea connected to leadership. Steering or a captain. In the case of a captain steering a boat, administrating the direction of boat, that captain has somebody who owns the boat, right? They're the ones who are giving the overall direction and vision. They're saying, hey, this is what this boat is about. It's made to ship this or take these people here or there. I'm putting you in charge of it, captain, to steer it and to get it from point A to point B. And that's what administration is about, isn't it? It's taking all the details, putting it all together, and essentially putting the wheels on the ground, implementing the vision of the leaders. Now, here's what you're looking for. Here's what this might sound like. And now listen, if this is you. You have a knack for ordering things. You like to help people reach their goals. You have concern for a whole group and moving the whole group. You don't mind managing or carrying out details. Now, Crossroads has a deep need for administrators, so please, Lord. Now, I'm going to give you an example, a scriptural example that's going to tie both administration and helps or service together, and it's from Acts chapter 6. Actually, you know what? Before that, I'm going to give you Titus 1, verses 4. To Titus, my true son, in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So here, Paul is giving somebody who has a gift of administration, Titus, and he is the leader. He's saying, hi, hey, I gave you this. Now I want you to do it. Take these things, pull it together, implement it, okay? Now let's go to one that's going to tie both administration and service together in Acts 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now what's happening here is we have a church that's gone from being about 120 people that's exploded, and within weeks has come to 3,000, and now is over 5,000. All this is happening within months. We've got exponential growth, and then racism surfaces within the church. The Hellenistic Jews are saying, the Hebraic Jews, they're not taking care of our widows. Why are they getting the preferential treatment? Well, it's actually not preferential treatment. It's that there's 5,000 people of you, and I'm not sure what percentage our widows are needing that care, but we're trying to minister the word. We're trying to sweep up and take care of the facilities. And all of a sudden they go, okay, hang on, slow down. Let's dial this in here. And so you see two different things, okay? So these widows are being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Okay, that's an administrative task. That's where you need somebody who has the gift of administration to come in and set things straight and set things right. Now, what they do is they implement that, and all of a sudden the conflict is broken. The right people are getting the right things. The right gifting is in the right place. Now, what they say here is, just down in verse 2, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God, which is another type of gifting, in order to wait on tables. And so they acknowledge gifting, placement, and they start to move people into their places. Now, if everybody's job was to stand up front and to minister the word, there would be nobody to receive the waiting, right? So we have to understand that different is okay, right? We say it. We say different is okay, except when I want to be like that person. And that's one of the key things as we move through this with spiritual gifts is you receive gifts from God, right? And we're invited, seek after greater gifts. If there's one of these gifts that you're longing for that God has put on your heart, then we're going to have an opportunity for the elders to pray for you. And there's an example of that in Scripture where the elders pray and impart spiritual gifts. We're going to have that opportunity here because that still happens in our churches. But you are the recipient of the gift. And what a good gift receiver does, right? A good gift receiver takes the gift and they open it and they are so filled with joy. They are so grateful for what they've received. And what do they do with it? Do they take the gift and tuck it away on a shelf? They take that gift out and they start to use it. They start to work with it. They start to use it. Okay? Now, administration helps or service. The spiritual gift of service or ministering covers a wide range of activities in its application. The Greek word for it is diakonia. We jump to that slide there, Sam. There it is. Diakonia. Ready, church? We can do this on one word, on one try. Here we go. One, two, three. Diakonia. You speak Greek. Love it. Diakonia, to wait on tables, or translated in Scripture as ministry. It's a word that means to minister, which is really interesting because that's exactly what that reference in Acts 6 is. And they came down to wait on tables so that the other apostles could be devoted to the teaching of the word. The Holy Spirit endows some believers with this gift to fill the many gaps of ministry and to meet the needs of the church as it fulfills the Great Commission. The goal is to energize the church and free up others to use their gifts to the fullest. The result is the continued building up or edification of the church and the added ability to see beyond its own needs and to reach out into the community. Now, one of the things about a spiritual gift that is different than a natural gift or an inherited gift is at a certain point, a natural gift on its own steam wears out. At a certain point, a learned gift wears out. The thing with a spiritual gift is the source is different than all of those because the source is Jesus. The source is the Holy Spirit. That's why you can see somebody who has a spiritual gift of service who will serve and serve and serve and serve again. And I'll watch it and I'll go, okay, you've got to be exhausted and spent and tired. And I'll come up and I'll talk to that person. And the response is a look back of joy, of delight, of, man, this is awesome. I love it. We get to do this. And I see that when I'm doing this, all these other things are coming together. Right? It is so encouraging when the source is right. And people are functioning in that place, the spiritual gift of service. Now, here's what this looks like. Now, listen if this is describing you. You may have a desire to help people. You may have an ability to really clearly see how people can be helped. You have an unselfish nature to do tasks, whether they are menial or not. So you are totally okay at being tucked behind the scenes at doing whatever work needs to be done. You have a bent towards enjoying practical service more than the theory stuff. So you might be sitting here right now in this moment going, I know what my gift is. I know that I want to serve. Let me go serve. I don't want to sit here and listen to you talk about these gifts. That's okay. That's okay. Because we've got lots for you. There's a willingness to do little jobs without credits. You also grow and derive pleasure or excitement, realizing that what you are doing is freeing up others so that they can work in their gifts. Now, it's so essential. It's so essential that we do this and that we, any of these gifts, but it's so essential for you who have the gift of service to do this in God's power. Because what can happen is all of a sudden one thing that is done in God's power, all of a sudden we can take it over and begin doing it in our own power. And what happens then is we begin to build up a bitterness and we start to look around and we go, I'm here every week doing this. Why isn't that person here doing this? And all of a sudden, rather than it being about the Holy Spirit empowering and enabling us to serve, it becomes something that's horrible and bitter, and you're looking at and blaming other people who aren't doing what they need to be doing. Source. Church, remember the source, okay? When you do this, when you serve in God's power, the joy is poured out. Any of these gifts, when we actually open them and start to live in them, any of these gifts, and we're obedient in the way that we practice them, joy comes with them. It accompanies. Okay, so we've talked about the gift of administration. We've talked about the gifts of help and service. And now let's talk about the gift of mercy. Now, there's a reality that in all of these, every single one of us is called to a measure again, right? We're all called to be good stewards, to administer our affairs properly. We're all called to serve one another. We're all called to be merciful. We're talking about extra doses of certain gifts. The spiritual gift of mercy is elio, to be patient and compassionate towards those who are suffering. Okay, elio, ready? One, two, three. Elio. Going strong. Elio. That was good. That was a good one, Mitch. I heard that, buddy. That was a little extra flair on that. I like that. It means to be patient and compassionate towards those who are suffering, the concern for the physical as well as the spiritual need of those who are hurting is covered by the gift of mercy. Those with this gift have great empathy for others in their trials and their sufferings. They're able to come alongside people over extended periods of time and see them through their healing process. And I really like that definition. Somebody with a gift of mercy can come alongside someone for an extended period of time and can be compassionate and gentle and caring and continue to walk with them and walk with them and walk with them. Why? Because their source is Jesus. Why? Because they're sustained by the Holy Spirit. This gift is about pity. It's about compassion. And it's so essential for us in our church, but also as we reach out to our community. Because Jesus came and he met the broken, the downtrodden, the sick, the hurt. And if you have a gift of mercy, you have an important role in our church. Not just for our church, but for our world. It's interesting to think that we know that Christianity on a whole, globally, and in the world, is viewed with resistance right now. We know that we live in a post-Christendom world where Christianity is far from accepted. And yet still, in times of relief, where relief is needed, and it's beyond what a government can provide, the first organizations often on scene, the first organizations called, are very often the Christian organizations. And if you trace those, I was reading this week, if you trace those back to their beginnings, you've got people obviously with a gift of leadership and likely administration, but you've got people at the core who have gifts of mercy, who are doing that worldwide task of bringing the love of God to people where they're at. Now, here are some of the evidences. Tears come easily when you hear about hurting things. People look at you and they think you are extremely empathetic. You want to reach out. You see somebody hurting, you want to reach out and help that person. Or people love having you around because you cheer them up. Maybe you have an unusual desire to express love to hurting people. Or when you're confronted by somebody who's hurting, your response is not, well, why don't you get a job? Or why don't you sort your life out? That's not your response. Your response is, oh, how can I help? Maybe you have an unusual desire to express love to those who don't want, those that most don't want to be around. Here's a good one. You love hospitals. Right? Why? Because there's hurting people in hospitals. all these gifts are crucial. They are essential for us as a church. And though we use the term that they're secondary gifts because they're made to build up and support and free other gifts, they're so essential for the overall health, well-being of our church and moving into our world. So crucial. Three gifts so far: administration, helps or service, and mercy. The last one, and it's really funny because we've talked about this for a few weeks already, but not necessarily in this light. It is the gift of giving. Now, the gift of giving, the Greek word is metadidomi. Do you like that? We can do this. To impart or to give. Metadidomi. Ready here? One, two, three. Metadidomi. Oh, with force. Well done, church. Well done. Now, it means to impart or to give. Now, in Romans 12, verse 8, it's accompanied by another descriptive word, which is haplotes. And this word tells us much more about the gift. It says giving, if you're giving, it lists a number of different gifts and how you're supposed to do it. If you lead diligently. If you give, if your gift is giving, give generously. Give generously. The Holy Spirit imparts this gift to summon the church to meet the various needs of the church and its ministries, its missionaries, or of people who do not have the means to provide fully for themselves. The goal is to encourage and provide, giving all the credit to God's love for what's being given. Now, somebody who has a gift of giving is like the church that we read about before, who were so overjoyed, who sought Paul out because they wanted to give more. Somebody who has the gift of giving, they get to the end of their week and they may be sad because they weren't able to give more money away. Right? Whereas we get to the end of our week, okay, I know God's called us to tithe. I'm going to tithe joyfully. Here you go. Person with the gift of giving is here you go, and here you go, and here you go, and here you go. And they need to come and see Guy. What for, Guy? And that person is so excited to have that opportunity. Malachi 3:10 talks about this idea that we are challenged. God invites us to bring our whole tithe to the storehouse to test him in this and watch how he is faithful and that he pours blessings and abundance and provision back on us. Now, giving, really, we spent a lot of time on this. First, is it is a lordship issue. Is your heart in the right place? Do you acknowledge that everything initially belongs to God? A person with a spiritual gift of giving gets that really easily. They get that really naturally. And they're really quick to share and give out. Now, this is what it looks like. A person with a gift of giving has a sensitivity to recognize the needs of others. They have a quickness to assume a burden for meeting a need. They have a freedom from a self-serving attitude. They have a capacity that provides the means. They have ability sometimes to amass finances, although I don't want you to hear that to have the gift of giving, you have to be well off. You can have the gift of giving and be amazing at it and be functioning fully at it and not have much money at all. Again, it's not about the money. It's not about the dollars and cents. It's about the heart. It's about the heart response to God, and it's about what God does with the seed that we plant. Amen? All right, I am going to invite Ron. Ron, if you can make your way up here. I'm going to get you to come right up on stage. Now, what's really exciting, oh yeah, give a little shout out for Ron. What's really exciting is at the end of the service last week, Ron came up and shared a bit of a story with me. And I said to him, Ron, we're going to have to get that filmed because I would have used it for, here, I'll give this to you. When you speak, make sure you just put it right on your You've done this before.
A little bit.
I said I would have used it for that little mini series, but let's get it on video. And then all of a sudden, I'm preparing for this week, and we're doing the love gifts, and one of them is the gift of giving. And what you're going to hear is a bit of a story. I'm going to let Ron go. I might ask you a couple questions.
That's fine.
Along the way.
Okay.
But I want you to listen for these gifts, because you're going to hear a number of the gifts that we're mentioning today and some that are still to come. But Ron, can you share the story that you shared with me?
Thank you, Joel, for the privilege of standing up here and speaking to these people.
It is a privilege, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a great privilege, actually.
Absolutely.
Many years ago, I was a very young Christian. I gave my heart to the Lord, came to the altar, knelt down, prayed the sinner's prayer, gave my heart to the Lord. Within a couple of weeks, things started to go a little sideways. Things went really sideways. And God had me in a very low position, but not really. And what happened was, I went to the pastor, and I wanted to know about what I thought was tilling. I said, I came from a farming background. I said, what's this about tilling? And he said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean? And I said, well, you've got to give to the Lord a certain... You mean tithing, he said. I said, yeah, tithing. So that started me off on tithing. So that's the first part of the story. A little later on, I had two boys, one girl. This is a hard part of the story, but it's a good part of the story. We had no money. We totally ran out of money. Some people from the church came around. They gave us $10. $10 was enough to buy some bread and some milk and a few other things. So we've got the bread and the milk and a few other things, and I'd started a job, and it was Friday, and I was expecting to get paid that Friday. But what happened was, that week we totally ran out of food. It came to Thursday, we had two slices of bread for the children and some milk for my daughter Suzette. That's all we had, a little bit of milk. I went to work Friday morning. My boys took their two sandwiches to school. Suzette had her milk. I came home from work that night, and as I'm walking up the driveway, I could smell food, and I was hungry. I hadn't eaten all day. I was very hungry. And I smelt this food, and I thought, oh, the neighbors is cooking something really fine here. Anyway, I got into the house, and there's chicken cooking on the stove. There's a big box of groceries on the table. And I said, what happened? And Audrey said, well, there's an old lady in the church. Her name was Miss Avery. And what she did was, she loved to pray, and she prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said, Ron and Audrey have no food. So she went to the pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife brought this box of food. And she said, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us? And it was because we couldn't tell anyone. We just wanted God to work on our behalf. And God did work on our behalf, and he supplied food. And from that day forth, I have not had to worry about food for my family. God has looked after us. He's taken care of us in every part. But you know, it's the spirit inside. We have to make sure that we are inside, we have the Holy Spirit. Because God leads us and guides us. And he leads all of you and guides all of you. And he is faithful in what he does. And when God wakes you up in the nighttime, pray, you know, you get people on your mind and you pray for them. And that is obeying God's spirit. And that's pretty well all I've got to say.
Wow. Amen.
I got lots more to say, but that's just a part of it.
Thanks, Ron. That's
it.
Thank you, brother. It's encouraging, isn't it? It's encouraging to hear when we come to those places and we're faithful in what God has called us to do. Now, Ron, I'm just going to ask you this from here, because I think it's the one last part. You mentioned to me that you had a small amount of money and you tithe out of that small amount of money even. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. $10, $2 out, the rest went to supplies, and then it came to waiting on the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Ron. So, church, I want you to listen. You hear a couple of different gifts in there. You hear a gift of knowledge or a word of knowledge there. We're going to come to that in a little while from the prayer. But you also see somebody who likely has a gift of giving from the church, because they didn't just come and bring a few things. They brought a box full, enough to sustain the family and give them food. You'll see likely an element of service in there, an element of mercy and coming alongside those who were in need. Now we're going to move into our ministry time and our feet on the ground right now. And I want you to take that encouraging story, and I want that to be a glimmer of what God is going to do in our church. Right? I want that to be just a glimpse of God's joy, His delight, His faithfulness, His provision. Amen? Can we agree on that? Amen. So I'm going to invite our elders. This is a little bit off the cuff. I'm going to invite our elders, if you can make your way forward, if you're not on a prayer team. I'm going to invite our prayer teams to make their way forward, as well as our music team, please. I want to remind you, as we're moving into this, we started something last week called the 90-Day Giving Challenge. If you're here and you're going, maybe I have the gift of giving, this is a great time to exercise and figure out if you have that gift. Okay? Now, I say that with deep sincerity. You may be wondering, do I have this gift? How are you going to find out if you don't actually start to move with it and start to place it into practice? Now, four gifts: gift of administration, the gift of helps, the gift of mercy, and the gift of giving. And so Mike and Bill and Jane, I see here. It looks like Mike and Suzette are up here too. So we're covered for our elders for either team. If you are saying, I have it on my heart, and I think I might have, but I want the gift of giving. I want the gift of mercy. I want you to move to one of our teams, and I want you to just communicate that. I'm coming, and I want you to pray that God would give me this gift. Okay? The second thing is, if you know that you have a gifting, if you know that you have a gift of mercy, we need you to come up, make your way up here to one of our teams, and let them know that. And make sure you grab one of these and put your name and your gift on it, so that they can pray for you with that gift. Okay? And the third thing is this. If you are in a place where you've used that gift in the past, let's say it's a gift of service, and you've used that gift of service and have become embittered towards the church or towards people or anything like that, we want you to come forward so that we can pray for you, so that we can break the bitterness, because the source of bitterness is not God. The enemy is the source of bitterness. And we want to pray and break that so that you can be freed to tap into the fullness of Jesus and receive what he has and exercise and function from that place. So I'm just going to run through that one more time. There's three things that we're looking for here. There's those three things. If you want a gift that you've heard about today, come up to one of our prayer teams so that they can pray for you, so that they can pray that you can receive that gift. If you have a gift that we've mentioned, one of the four, make your way up so that we can identify you, so that we can put you into places, and so that you can be prayed for. And the third is this: if you are hurt, maybe it's not bitterness, maybe it's hurt. Whatever it is, attached to one of these spiritual gifts, come forward so that we can pray over you to break that bitterness. Can I invite you to stand as I pray? Jesus, we stand as your church, as your people. And we make space right now. And if you're here and you're sensing that this is the day that Jesus is calling you to be his, in a sense, I want you just to stand where you are and inwardly repeat this prayer. Jesus, I am at the end of myself. I'm lost in sin, and I feel you calling me. And so I give you my life, Lord. I ask that you would come into it. I thank you. I receive you. Make me clean, Lord. And that's such a precious prayer. And I don't want you to leave without connecting with somebody and telling somebody with our prayer teams that you have prayed that. Please make your way forward if that's the case after we're done here. Lord, you know every one of our hearts. You know every one of our gifts. You look down in this room right now and you see all of the giftings. And so I pray, Father, that you would be drawing those giftings out. I pray that you would be fanning a flame, that you would be really setting us ablaze. Lord, specifically, we're talking about these gifts of administration and service or helps, mercy, and giving. And so as people make their way forward, Lord, to pray, to receive a gift, to practice it more fully, or to have something broken, and we just ask your movement. We say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Have your way among us. Equip us. We are your people. We are your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. And so you have freedom right now. If you want to sit back down and take some time, if you're ready to make your way forward, invite you to do that. We also have communion going at the same time. Bless you this week, church. We'll see you next week.